Just like asparagus, morels, or peaches, teas have their season. And the ones that are picked in the spring are prized by people who really know tea. As the weather turns warmer in the tea-growing areas of the world, the buds wake up and shoot up this new growth that tastes totally alive. Our contributor Noelle Carter of the LA Times talked with tea lover and journalist Max Falkowitz about why spring teas will get you sprung.
Max, it's a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
What are some characteristics of spring tea, and what distinguishes it from other types of tea?
Well, so I think the part that the people sometimes have trouble wrapping their heads around in the West is that tea isn't just a ground-up thing you put in a tea bag and put in your mug when you're feeling cold. It's a plant, and it has growing seasons, and it has varieties, and it's subject to just as much terroir and climate variations and processing variations as coffee or wine or chocolate or anything like that. And tea leaves grow year-round. Some people pick them only twice a year, some three times a year, some year-round. But in the spring harvests are the first harvests of the year, and these are teas that have been sitting dormant for most of winter. And they've been sitting cold, and like with wine or wine grapes or really any other plant, the more a plant has to struggle to grow and to stay alive, the richer, the more oomph it tends to have. And these are plants that have struggled through the winter, and they're now finally shooting up. The weather gets warm for them to just start shooting, and they just go for it. And it's like ramps in the Northeast. It's like spring peas. It's like asparagus. Spring teas are, they have all of that freshness, all of that oomph of what we know the season to be.
You've written how spring tea comes in limited quantities, and a pound of select harvest can run literally into the thousands of dollars. Why is it such a prized commodity?
Well, so really we're drastically underpaying for our tea in the U.S., in part because the really good stuff just never gets to us. It stays within the Chinese and Japanese markets. In India and the Himalayas, it's a different story, but In China and Japan, tea isn't just something you drink. It's a cultural icon that has thousands of years of history and weight behind it. So there is an inherent difference in the way that tea is valued in the Eastern Hemisphere than it is here. But particularly for spring teas, we're talking about growing through March through April. It's warmer. It's warmer than winter, but it's still not hot. And The colder it is, the slower a plant is going to grow. So you're talking about tea bushes that are shooting up, but they're still growing at a relatively slower rate than what you'd get compared to, say, tea bushes growing in July or August. So you have small yields, and small yields with very concentrated potency. You have a lot of nutrients stored up from over the winter, and they're growing in relatively small amounts. So everyone's excited about the spring harvest. There are even celebrations across China about the first spring rains, and teas that are picked before the first spring rains are considered the cream of the crop in some circles. Some cynics would just say it's all marketing, and I don't think they're entirely wrong there. But there's definitely a cachet associated with these limited harvests, and they're really a special thing.
And you write how not every type of tea tastes best as a spring tea. What varieties are best suited to spring, and what would you recommend buying?
All teas come from the same plant, and what makes them different is partially their terroir, partially the climate in which they grow, partially the season in which they grow, but it's also a ton of it has to do with the way they're processed. And so there are certain teas that are processed in ways that highlight certain characters of the tea leaf and subdue others. And if you take, for instance, Japanese green teas, which are very—they're very crisp, they're aromatic, they're bright. They have this lush, thick, bitter sweetness that's not just grassy but very herbaceous and piney. Those take very well to that type of processing takes very well to these spring tea leaves that have all this potency and oomph. And in Japan, there's a special first harvest called Shincha, which is really just a special name for a very general type of Japanese green tea called Sencha, which some people might have heard of. And Shincha is the very first harvest of the year that's packed and shipped right away for people to drink it as soon as possible. In China, you have a bunch of green teas that are really, they can be more buttery and a little more sweet and a little more pea-like. And there are some really famous Chinese green teas, Dragon Well, also called Longjing, that some people have heard of. And then you also have, in India, you have First Flush Darjeelings, which are the, so Darjeeling tea is very famous in India, and it changes in character depending on the flush or when they pick it. So First Flush teas tend to be very piney and bright. And over in Taiwan, where they're really famous for growing oolong teas, the really high elevation grown oolongs there that are really green and bright and herbaceous and buttery, those also take very well to spring harvest. So, I mean, in general, you want to go for teas that exemplify that aromatic quality.
Max, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Max Falkowitz is senior digital editor at Savour Magazine. His article, Steeped in Spring, was in the April 2016 issue. Noelle Carter is the Los Angeles Times Test Kitchen Director and writes the Culinary SOS column. Head to splendidtable.org for a master recipe for cold-brewed iced tea from tea expert Bill Waddington.